Blog Talk Radio.
At 12 o'clock, it's Talking Sports with Mike T. I am your host, Mike Tramatozzi, here with you for the next half hour. Let's go over all the things in sports that we want to talk about. You know, if you're a Yankee fan, it's not a good day. Curtis Granderson is out for the next 10 weeks. Granderson broke his forearm yesterday, actually, in a hit-by-pitch in the first inning of the preseason. So, you know what? That kind of lends you to believe what the doesn't seem like it's going to be a good year for the Yankees. If you get that kind of luck, it doesn't seem like you're going to have a good season. Let's just put it that way. The Yankees already went in. I mean, if you're a Yankee fan, you already went into this season with some kind of knowing that your outfield was going to be a problem. Sure, obviously. I don't know what they're going to do now. I mean, it's going to be a real garbage outfield regardless. You know, instead of having Granderson's 30 to 40 home runs in the outfield, you're going to miss him for the first 5 weeks of the regular season. And what are you going to replace him with? Matt Diaz? Juan Rivera? They already said they're not calling up any of their rookie, any of the kids in the minors, you know, that are worth anything. The Heathcotts or the Tyler Austins. They already said they're not doing that. So then what do you do? So I don't know what they're going to do. So someone's got to tell me what the Yankees are going to do to fix their outfield. Because right now, it's terrible. They're already losing 90 home runs this year with just the guys they got rid of. And now they're going to sit here and not have Granderson for 5 weeks. They really don't have a hitting catcher. So I don't know what they're doing or what they're going to do, what their plan is, because I don't see it working. I mean, they put the over and under on this team at I think it was 82.5, 85 maybe, something like that. I don't know if they're going to get close to that. Maybe it's just the pessimistic nature right now. I don't see them doing good, personally. Right now, the way this team is constructed, it's not a solid team at all. You're old in the infield. You're old in your pitching staff. On paper, you may be the third best team in your division. So what? I don't know. Just a strange start to the season. And it's not going to get any easier. I still have questions about their rotation. I still have questions about their lineup. I mean, they're all fair assessments that nobody can seem to answer just with, oh, you're crazy if you assume the Yankees are going to be, you know, in third place or fourth place. You're crazy to assume the Yankees are going to struggle to get to 85 wins. Why? At some point, it's going to happen. At some point, it happens. So what do? Just keep assuming that they're going to do this and do that, and Jeter's going to hit 550 or, you know. It's just crazy. It's crazy that people just blanket assume the Yankees are going to do things. I don't know. I'm not that very optimistic on this team. Now, if you know, obviously the big problem with Toronto is if they don't stay healthy, then, you know, that changes everything. Obviously, I don't know if Tampa Bay has enough hitting. If Baltimore can duplicate their magic in extra innings and one-run games like they had last year, that'd be very tough. But I think the Red Sox are going to be a little bit better. They can't be as bad as they were last year. I don't know. If anybody wants to enlighten me on something I may be missing, you know, hit me up, 760-283-0846. Hit me on Twitter, at mtramontozzi, mtramontozzi, and tell me, maybe I'm missing something. Maybe I'm just being pessimistic. But I think if this team gets to 85 wins, that's a success. So I just don't see, at some point, you can't just assume Derek Jeter's going to hit 320. Or that Andy Pettit's going to have a 2.5 ERA. Or that Rivera's going to be Rivera. Age dictates everything. Nobody can stop it. You may sneak around it for a year or two, but at some point, it gets you. And I know nobody wants to hear it, but they're going to miss Alex Rodriguez, too. There, I said it. So, no Yankee fan wants to admit, because apparently that's sacrilegious that they could miss Alex Rodriguez. But they do. You can't just tell me that it's not a issue. You know, can Youkilis do what Alex Rodriguez did? Maybe. I mean, they were both subpar last year. Maybe Youkilis can turn it around. But can you expect Youkilis at his age on a one-year deal to start hitting 320 again with, you know, 25 homers? I don't think you can. I don't see it. I don't see it. You know, you can't have Cervelli and Chris Stewart being your best catchers. That can't happen either. I mean, why would you even think of going into the year with two career backups? One of them has to be your starter. That's got to be the biggest joke that people try. Girardi tries to sell me, because he was a catcher, that Cervelli or Stewart can do the job. No, they can't. If they could, they would have gotten the chance. Oh, my God. It's just comical. Joe Girardi thinks he can just tell you something, and because he was a catcher back in the day, you're supposed to take it as the gospel. This guy knows what he's talking about. You know what? I can see with my own two eyes, and I don't know if the two of them are going to combine for 5 home runs this year. Doesn't Cervelli have like 2 home runs his entire career? Neither of them are going to hit above 250. So we have decided that we're going to lose over 100 home runs from our lineup this year, and we're going to replace it with good defense and strong pitching. But you went with pitching that's old. So you went with starting pitching that's old and in their late 30s, early 40s, but that's the best pitching you could have gotten. In an offseason where Irvin Santana and Tommy Hansen got traded, you re-signed Hiroki Kuroda and Andy Pettit. Just assuming that they're the best options and they're going to duplicate their seasons from last year. Pettit was striking out more guys than he ever struck out last year. Somebody explain that one to me. It doesn't make sense. None of this makes sense. This team is just building things off of what players used to be, trying to bridge the gap until their young guys come up. But they're not willing to push their young guys. So I don't know, but let's go to the phone lines. Got a caller online. What's going on?
How you doing? This is Bill from Long Island. How you doing, man?
Hey, what's up?
I hear all your Yankee talk right there, and I want to come fight with you.
I want to hear it.
Let's start from the beginning. The Yankee fans won't miss A-Rod? Yankee fans won't miss A-Rod, my man.
I know they won't. Yankee fans won't miss him. I just don't think it's correct.
Well,
I know nobody likes him. I know nobody likes him, and that's fine. But he still hit 270 with 15 homers last year in relatively small at-bat samples. So, but my point is, we're just assuming that Youkilis is going to do well for a year, and he might. You know, all his talk.
I'm not saying Youkilis is going to light the world on fire, but can I expect Youkilis to give me the same year that Alex would have?
I think you can. I think you can. I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility. I mean, he hit two.
I mean, I'm not expecting 325 and a 420 on base like he used to a few years back.
I don't think any.
But
listen,
certainly,
if he gives
I can
that,
expect 250 and 20.
Probably. I don't know if he's going to get towards 20. He might.
He hit 19 last year in like 120 games. So let's hope.
I'm just
healthy and he can get 20.
I think so, but I just don't see. My whole point is that they want to build around defense, and that's fine because defensively their outfield is really good. Their outfield
It wasn't until yesterday.
I don't know what they're going to do, but my point, my whole thing, I'm struggling with this is that they're basically trying to sell me something in Cervelli and Stewart that we all know they're not.
Well, let's I was a big Russell Martin guy, and we all know the reason why I didn't resign him, because would make $8.5 million next year, and they're forced against this $189 million number, and that's the problem there. Granted, Russell Martin hit 21 home runs last year. He hit 211.
Yeah, no,
let's not go crazy.
Not
he was an automatic out for 4 months.
These guys are going to be an automatic out for 6 months, though.
You tell me Cervelli can't hit 210.
He can hit 210, but I don't know if you're going to win this year.
I can live with my catcher hitting 250. I mean, last I checked, the catcher's still a defensive position.
Yeah.
Cervelli's okay behind the plate.
The
guy that really keeping home plate warm for is Austin Romine. He's predominantly a defensive catcher, and he's a strong defensive catcher.
If they're smart, I would be giving him every opportunity to win the job at a spring training. Because you're right. He's, as of right now, because any other catcher they've got in the system is 2-3 years away, Romine's their best option right now. I just don't see it. To me, he's their best option. They don't want to give it to him because he wasn't healthy last year. I just think even if he struggles, are his struggles going to be that much better than or that much worse than whatever Stewart or Cervelli is going to give you?
Well, Cervelli is a very streaky hitter. I mean, he had a streak a couple years back where he hit 320 over a few months, whatnot. Obviously, he's not a starting catcher. Ideally, they'd like to take Romine and Cervelli and maybe split them half the time, and that would probably be a good mix.
See, I think the problem is I don't think either of them have options left. So I think that plays a big part into it as well. I think Romine's the only one that can actually go back to the minors.
Well, let's not even worry about Stewart. He was brought in here just to be the backup catcher, knowing that he didn't have any options.
Let me ask you this. Let me just ask you this though. I want to get you because I gotta keep things moving. I want your thought on this because I have a lot of Yankee fans and we all kind of disagree on this. Your predictions on the rotation. It's very old. It's not healthy, as we've already seen with Phil Hughes, which is unfortunate because he's probably their biggest horse outside of Sabathia that you can rely on because he's the youngest one they've got.
You mentioned before about pitchers like Ervin Santana, and who was the other guy you mentioned?
Tommy Hansen.
Did you see Tommy Hansen pitch last year? He was dead awful. I mean, he could only pitch 5 innings at the end of the year. He's terrible. He's got that weird mechanical windup.
Is he better than Nova?
None of those two guys are better than Kuroda. No way. And for Pettit, let's not talk about strikeout rates and whatnot. He only pitched like 50 innings. He went out with a broken leg. Guys like Pettit and guys like Mariano, sure they are old and whatnot, but I think they've gotten enough credit down the line there where you got to believe you got to see with your own eyes that they can't do it.
The collateral they have. The collateral they have with this organization is bar none. They have enough collateral to play until they're 50 if they wanted to. At some point, they're obviously not going to. I don't think they're the type of guys that would hang on anyway.
I think this is the last year for both, to be honest.
I think so. The interesting part will be what happens if Jeter has a bad year coming off his ankle, which probably won't be a problem and won't factor into it. I think his age is more a factor of it. But they're going to have some issues going forward if Jeter, you know, options into that contract, because I think their best bet would
be
for
him. It's only $8 million, so we can leave with him at $8 million.
Probably. The problem is Derek Jeter going to want to play for $8 million.
Well, he signed the deal, didn't he?
I don't think he wanted to last time, if you remember that. They kind of backed him into a corner and then relented a bit. Randy Levine relented a bit on that deal. If you remember, Cashman told him, go find something better. Nobody was offering anything better, and then Randy Levine jumped in and was like, hold on, we'll do this. So,
well, let's talk about everyone, Trump and Cashman. Cashman's been pretty much right on the money with everything he did. He told A-Rod to go take a hike. It was Hank and Hal that signed them back to that ridiculous number.
You're 150% right. I think Cashman has an idea of what he's doing, and I think some point the higher-ups in the Yankee organization have this fear. There's a big fear, I think, in the Yankee organization outside of Oppenheimer and Cashman and the baseball guys. I don't think the front office executives, Levine, Lontros, Steinbrenners, want this team to not have multiple all-stars. It's kind of like the Lakers syndrome in a way. The Lakers can't not have a Dwight Howard and a Kobe Bryant. They can't just have a Shaquille O'Neal and a Kobe Bryant or a Magic Johnson and a Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and a James Worthy. They've got to have these all-stars. And at some point,
I think I have to disagree with you there, because if you look on the people under contract for 2014 where they have this self-imposed $189 million contract, as it stands today, they'll only have 2/5 of a rotation, and the only position players that they'll have under contract will be Teixeira and Ichiro.
I think you're right, but I just think hopefully at some point they let Cashman run this thing like he wants to, which means we wouldn't have had A-Rod, which is fine. One way or the other, it really doesn't matter anymore with Alex Rodriguez. And I don't know if you would you probably would have had Derek Jeter, but I think it would have been on Cashman's terms, not Jeter's terms, which is kind of what it felt like when Randy Levine jumps in. They just need to stay out of it, and they need to trust Brian Cashman, which I don't think they really want to do. They really don't seem to want to trust Cashman too much, because otherwise you know, you wouldn't have had Alex Rodriguez. Or maybe you would have had
Alex
Rodriguez.
Well, they're going to have to trust someone down the line, because tomorrow, next year, someone's going to have to make some huge decisions, because they're not going to even have a roster next year.
It'll be very interesting to see what they do, because that 189 has kind of backed themselves into a corner with X amount of players to where you want to...
I mean, they're totally wiped out. I mean, the best thing that could happen is A-Rod gets medically ineligible to play in that...
You know what the best thing for them is? And I got to let you go on this, but the best thing for them is if they have a monster year in the minor leagues. They need a couple guys from that minor league system to have huge years and jump a couple levels to where they feel confident giving those guys a chance at the major league level. They kind of did it in 07 and 08 when they brought up all three pitchers at the same time, and they kind of wanted to try it, but it didn't work. I think with their 189, that's their best move going forward, that they have to hope someone in the minor leagues, whether it's like a Heathcott or a Tyler Austin, springs a couple levels and is playing like at AAA this year.
Because between CC and whatever they might pay Cano and Teixeira and A-Rod, that's $100 million roughly right there.
Yeah, that's like $150 million right there. It's going to be interesting to see what they do. But I got to let you go, because I got to move on to some basketball. But thank you so much for listening and calling in. And don't be a stranger if you want to call in and talk Yankees during the summer.
Thanks, boss. Have a good show.
You too, man. Take care. That was Built for Long Island. Gives me some great talk on the Yankees. Hey, listen, I just like to kind of people always want to say that I like to start controversies and fights, but I like it. I just think it's fun, because if you have an opposite thing, let's talk about it. It's fun. And he had some opposite discussions, and his arguments are 100% valid. The Yankees, they on paper, they're going to be – listen, they'll be fine. Let's not all get crazy, and, you know, some people are saying, like, hey, let's bring back Soriano and stuff. Stop it. They'll find somebody, whether, you know, maybe Diaz or something, or maybe they put Nunez in left field for a little bit, maybe move Vitro to left, let Nunez play right, something like that. They'll get through 5 weeks, and then Granderson will be back. The biggest question will be whether or not this team has enough talent and whether or not it plays to their potential in the back of their baseball cards. Because if everybody plays... Let's say everybody in the AL East plays exactly the way that we all think they can. Toronto's going to win that division, and Tampa Bay's probably going to finish in second place. Now, it's a question of whether or not Baltimore does what they did last year, whether or not the Yankees can fight them off. You know, it was pretty disconcerting the way the Yankees played at the end of last year and in the second half of the year. But they did hold off Baltimore for the division. So as bad as everything was last year, every time they got tested until the Detroit series, the Yankees pushed back. Whether it was that game in Toronto where they were down 5-0 with a chance of losing the division and falling into second place, they came back and won. So you want to see some more of that this year if you're the Yankees. But it'll be I'm interested to see in spring what guys kind of stand out. Because, as he said, with that $189 million limit coming up, they have to hope some young guys in the minor leagues have some big years and step forward. But let's, you know, we've got about 5 minutes. Let's move on real quickly to the NBA. The Knicks finally broke their losing streak last night. They got a big win over Philly. It was a little iffy. They played well. I would say they played well. Did they play great? No, they played better than they've played. So that's an improvement. I thought the defense was better. You know, they let Jrue Holiday get 30, but it was a different kind of 30. They got, you know, 22 out of Stoudemire off the bench. They got 25 from Anthony. So they got enough from their big players. J.R. Smith hit some big threes in the fourth quarter to give them the win. Now they get a couple days off. Maybe Kenya Martin will play. Seems like he's going to play Wednesday against the Warriors, who, listen, can score with anybody, but their defense has been abysmal this year. So the Knicks should – I think the Knicks should win their next two games. That's Washington, Golden State and Washington before they face Miami on Sunday. So they'll have a big – and I think they should be on a nice little streak here, three in a row, going to that game against Miami, which is next Sunday. 6 days from now at the Garden. Heat running away with everything right now. 11 straight wins. They've pretty much put a stamp on their ticket as the one seed. Six games up on second place Indiana. Knicks a half game back in third. They've got a now two-game lead over Brooklyn in the division. Brooklyn lost last night in a really terrible offensive game against Memphis, who has won seven in a row. So a lot of the people who question the Grizzlies' cost-cutting moves with trading Rudy Gay, trading Maurice Spates, and all those guys they traded in that trade with Cleveland. Memphis is now 37-18. They're just a game and a half back of the Clippers for the third seed. And they have a three-game lead on Denver for the fourth seed. So Memphis is on a roll right now. Obviously, their defense, they're having trouble scoring. They're only averaging 91.5 points a game. But 87 points per game allowed defensively is ridiculous. That's absolutely insane. Obviously, the big question in basketball is, can the Lakers keep this stretch going? They're 2.5 games back of the 8th seed, 3.5 back of 7th place Utah. The Lakers have played really well. Nice win last night, yesterday afternoon in Dallas. Coming back and getting a game out of that where they were struggling for most of that, and then Kobe just absolutely went off, hitting some insane shots that really only Kobe Bryant can do. Only Kobe, some of those shots he hit last night are only Kobe Bryant shots. So, but at this point, like I said, the Knicks have a big week coming up. They want to get these two wins before they play the Heat. And then it'll be interesting because the two teams that have given Miami trouble, Miami hasn't played since they went on this streak. That's Indiana and the Knicks. They're 0-4 against those two teams. Or lost four of their 14 losses have come against Indiana and the Knicks. So it'll be interesting to see if the Knicks can kind of right their ship and give themselves a little bit of a better feeling going into this game. It'll be interesting to see how this game plays out because, like I said, right now Miami and Memphis are the two hottest teams in basketball, and both are really starting to make statements that they're going to be really, really tough to play in the playoffs. Obviously, everyone knew that about Miami, but Memphis is kind of reaffirming that now after they made those moves to rid themselves of Rudy Gay's contract. Prince has come right in and done a wonderful job stepping in for that. So they haven't really missed a beat, and they've actually gotten better with that trade. So I'm out of time. I'd like to thank everybody for listening. I hope everybody has a great week, enjoys themselves, and I'll see everybody here again next week at the same time. So everybody take care.